Amen. Amen. We thank Miss Tammy for being here. Boy, we love her and appreciate her and the wonderful help she is to the church. We thank God for that and the great gifts of playing and singing. We've been in a lot of good services together down through the years, and they've been a tremendous help to me. Her husband, Wayne, and Tammy, they've been so good to me in my life, and I appreciate them. They've put gas in my tank to go in revivals. They've given me money and just taking care of me so well. And I love them so much for it. And we just tolerate Miss Lila back there. We just tolerate her. We've been off on vacations, camping trips, just you name it. We've done it. And I appreciate them. And when Sarah was little, and I'll get into the message in just a second. When Sarah was real little, she looked just like Tammy. When in the baby pictures, you could align them side by side pictures up and they look just alike. And so if you want to know what Sarah looked like when she grows up, she'll look like Tammy. And hopefully she won't be as mean as Tammy, all right? But we appreciate her and appreciate the Lord's work. And for invitation, Sarah, I want you to sing that song that you sang Wednesday night. What was it, Blessing Assurance? You sing that. No, I don't know how many of you listened to the Wednesday night broadcast, but Sarah sang a cappella, just a song, so just be ready to sing that in imitation, and then we'll let Greg finish up with that. And but we want her to sing and let the Lord use her today. I forgot to announce this. This fourth Sunday, I've got an old preacher by the name of Preacher Tommy C. that will be coming to preach this fourth Sunday. Of course, he's in his 80s now, and he lives up around Murphy, North Carolina, between Blairsville and Murphy, North Carolina. And he used to come and run revivals down here when Donald Tripp was here. And he called me the other day, and he said, Lance, they've cleared me of cancer. I'm not taking any more powerful treatments anymore. And he said, I'm going to get back to going and visiting and preaching. He said, I'm not asking for a place to preach. But then he said, but would you let me preach? I said, Tommy, I'll give you a whole month. I'll give you a whole year to preach if you want to come preach. And he said, no, I just want to go back to places I used to run revivals. And he'll be here this fourth Sunday in the morning, preaching for Sunday morning. So be much in prayer for Brother Tommy. You don't want to miss that. And invite your friends and family. Get the word out that Preacher Tommy C's coming back to town, all right? Let's open our Bibles now to the book of St. John's Gospel. St. John's Gospel, chapter number 12. St. John, chapter 12. And when you find your place, would you stand all over the house in honor of God's word? I want to just read a very small portion of God's word and tell you what the Lord's placed on my mind and my heart. And I just want to help the church today. But do pray for us as we try to preach and teach God's word. John chapter 12, verse number 30. John 12, verse number 30. Jesus answered and said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Notice verse number 32, I've got it highlighted in my Bible. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Father, we thank you now for your holy writ. I pray that you bless your humble servant now as we try to preach, thus saith the Lord. I pray you to anoint our mind, God, with clarity, of anoint our voice with strength. God, give us the great wisdom that only comes from you. And anoint our calling, God, that we can preach thus saith the Lord. I pray for your presence to be on this service. Lord, if there's a need among us, I pray you'd meet that need. Every need that's here. Those that might be listening on Facebook, internet, however they may find us, I pray, God, you'd bless the hearers. Lord, we honor you and we lift up the name of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated here this morning. You'll notice here in verse number 32 that Jesus made this statement. It was not John the Baptist that said this. It was not the apostles. It was not the angels in heaven. But Jesus Christ himself made this pronunciation. Now, when Jesus says something, I think we ought to take notice. And we ought not to read over it just so quickly that we miss the blessing that God has for us in store in the writings of, in the words of Jesus. Notice and read it with me again one more time as we lay the foundation. And Jesus says this, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth will draw all men unto me. And he is speaking simply about the day before resurrection. Simply before he would get up out of the grave, he's talking about the cross. He's talking about what happened and what will happen on the cross. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, he said, under the earth will draw all men unto me. And notice what he said after the cross. He said, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Does that mean you've got to be a certain color? No, it means all men. Does it mean that you've got to have an education? No, it means every man. Does it mean that you've got to have vast amounts of money or be a pauper or poor to be welcomed into that all men category? No, it means everybody can come to the Lord. And that's what I want to preach today on, is coming to the Lord in worship. And I'm of the opinion today that our worship services of yesteryear are nothing but faint memories. And we remember as we go back in the cards of our mind, and we remember how it used to be. Remember the choirs being full and singing. And remember the host. M-Jack, go sit with Mama now. Remember the preachers that would preach, would be anointed of the Lord. Now pray for me, church, as we get into the message. And we remember how that the lost would come and they would settle the gospel and get under the old-fashioned move of God. And we remember those days. And boy, wouldn't you like to see that again? Can I get an amen on that? Seeing the days when the house of the Lord was full. And I remember, and I'm telling my age here, I remember when they had the windows of the churches opened and people be under such conviction that they couldn't stand it, that they would have to jump out the windows and to get away from the anointing and presence of God. I don't know if you remember that down here in these big city churches, but that's the way it was back in the country churches. People get under conviction and they jump out of the church window to get away from the presence of the Lord. But I want you to notice something about worship and how it takes place and why we need to worship the Lord. First of all, you'll notice here that God, Son Jesus says this, I'll draw all men to myself or unto himself. And it is indicative of the fact that there is a Calvary. There was going to be a cross. And what Jesus does on Calvary, he was going to draw all men unto himself. And as he draws all men to himself, we're to give him glory and honor and worship him. Think about this, dear friend. First of all, there are holy days all through the Old Testament. Israel's mind was simply focused on God. That's the way their lives were supposed to be. There were holy days. And as we have Sunday today, is a day of rest and solitude. We think about what God has done in our lives and what he will do in our lives. But think about this, the solemn feast days of Israel. There's Passover. They marched into Jerusalem. Israel marched into Jerusalem year by year to remember Passover days. Remember the days of Jubilee and the days of trumpet and all the solemn feast days that they had. They all pointed to one event, one God, one sovereign Lord over Israel, which was Jehovah God, Yahweh, God himself. And everything that they built their lives around was simply to remember the Holy of Holies, which was God himself. Let me ask you this today, in light of this message, as we lift Christ up today, do you have a solemn day in your life? And someone said, well, I have that privately. Well, that's fine. That's good. But friend, do you have that with a church family? I'm telling you, there's a day, we're living in a day where people say, I don't need to go to church. I can do without going to church. They're just a bunch of hypocrites anyway down there. They've all got problems. I've watched the Christian live. They don't live like they ought to live. And all of that is true. Listen, there's hypocrites in every church. I want to say this morning, in light of this, we're still commanded of God to set Sunday aside to come to the house of the Lord and worship the God of the ages. Can I get an amen? That's our job. That's what God has saved us unto. He just does not save us from sin, but he saves us unto something. If you're listening today, say amen. He does not save us just to stay out of sin, but he saves us unto a life of change and respect and honor unto the Lord. And I tell you, I get excited every Sunday morning. Don't you, Harlan? I get excited about coming to Pleasant Union Baptist Church to be with God's people, and to sing in the choir, to remember our God and our Savior, our Creator. And we lift Him up in the act of worship here today. And Israel did this year by year. They had solemn days and feast days. Friends, I want you to notice this. Flip back to the book of Psalms, Psalms 46. I'm going to preach real quick this morning. Psalms 46. The writer of this great psalm tells us there that we are to be still. Verse number 10, be still and know that I am God, and I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. And the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our refuge. And he ends that psalm with the word Selah, which means a rest at the end of this psalm that Israel would sing. But I believe there's something we're missing in our churches today, and as Christians as well. We are forgetting what it is like to be still in the presence of God. I preached last week about David sitting in prayer before the Lord, before he was commanded to tell Solomon that he would build the temple of the Lord. But did you know this, that being still is an act of worship, friend? I mean, we live in a day when we're going faster than we can bat an eye. I mean, we got a car, we put gas in it, we go, and we hurry here to there from project to project, place to place, pillar to post. We're moving here and there and everywhere, but we're forgetting to be still in the presence of God. I tell you, some of the greatest moments of my life as a Christian is when I take open this book and I sit before the Lord and I look up to heaven and I say, God, show me my sin. God, if there's any sin that I need to confess and repent of, God, show me what it is so that I can repent of it and make it right with you. And then as I repent and confess it and read His Word comes alive to me and it shows me He's with me. And then every now and again I feel those, what the old timers used to say, those glory bumps, as God would sit down with me and His presence would be near me and on me. Friend, do you ever have those days in your life where you've learned to be still in the presence of God? I believe it's high time the church gets back to that. And here's where the power is in the church. It's when folks start spending time alone with God. Be silent in His presence and be still and know that He is God, and say, God, You are my all. You're my everything. You're what gives me breath, what makes my heart beat, what gives me the blessings of the life that You've given me. And I tell you, the church has lost that. Sitting in God's presence is a lost art in this age of this busyness that we have in our life. I tell you, one of the greatest disruptors of the peace of God that we have is those little bitty cell phones. Y'all remember the days when our phones were attached to the walls and the cords held them there. But now we've got a cord attached to us. It's that cell phone. It's attached to us as it's constantly giving us announcements and telling us what we ought to do. There's our buddy on the other end saying, texting us some nonsense that means nothing. There's an email that pops up saying, well, you've got to attend to this. And we let that little idol get in our way so that we cannot be still and know that God is God. My advice to you today is turn the thing off. Get that little idol, that little devil out of your hand, and get your face back toward heaven again. You'll notice this in verse number 10. He said, be still and know that I am God. How many of you here today can lift holy hands and say, I know that God is the God of my life? I can say that. He's the God of my life. He's been real in my life. He's helped me, and His presence is ever there and before me. And the Lord of hosts is with all of God's people everywhere today. He cannot leave us nor forsake us. But then I want you to notice this. In God's presence, there can't be any busyness going on here or there. I think some of the best times of my prayer life, can I just confess to you how it is in my prayer life? I don't pray like everybody else tells me to pray. Some of my best praying is done in the wee hours of the night when I can't sleep. And I'm laying there and I don't know what to pray about. And God wakes me up 3:00 in the morning and I can't go back to sleep. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever do that? and just lay there, and I don't sit there and try to fall back to sleep. I don't try to count sheep. I talk to the shepherd, and I lay there and talk to him and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? And in those wee hours of the night, when I'm still, the lights are off, there's nobody moving in my house and stirring, there's nothing outside to hinder me, oh, those are the sweet times of the child of God, because he or she can learn to praise God and worship him in the wee hours of the night. Oh, the days and nights that I've woken up in the middle of the dark, dark room, and God light in my soul speaking to me and say, son, I want you to preach this. Go find this in my word and study it out. God awakens me and helps me. I'll tell you this. There was an old preacher, Brother Jack Pierce, that used to pastor around the area. He divorced his wife because of some things that she was doing. He was one of God's great men. I mean, anointed of God. Well, earlier in their marriage, in their ministry, Brother Jack never remarried, but he had pastored some churches down in this area, and he said he was laying in his bed late one night, and he was laying there, and revival week was the next week to happen at the church he was pastoring. His little boys and their little babies were young at that time. His wife was still with him, and they were laying in bed, and he woke up, and he told me this himself. He woke up, and he sat up, and he felt God knocking in his heart. And he said, God, what do you want? And he spoke up out loud. He said, what do you want from me? And he said, I want you to go down to church and pray. And he said, God, I don't want to leave my family in the middle of the night. I don't want to leave my babies. And God said, I want you to get up, put your clothes on, and go down to church. And said he got his clothes on, didn't argue anymore. Went down the church about 3 o'clock in the morning. Come around the street there, and there the lights were on in the church. And he didn't know anybody was there. He said he drove in there and recognized some of the cars. He said, I believe that's the people of the church, 3 o'clock in the morning. And he walked in the door, and he said it was the deacons of the church. And they were all face down in the under the pulpit and the choir loft and around the church, scattered around in the altar. And they were walked in, and he said, I heard the steady cry of children praying, men and women of God, men praying for revival, 3 o'clock in the morning. And they didn't tell the preacher that they were having that old-timey prayer meeting. He said, God woke him up in the middle of the night. I said, Jack, what happened? He said, I joined the prayer meeting. We got down and prayed. And he said, we prayed together. And the next week was the sweetest week of my life. The revival broke out around. I feel God just saying it. The revival broke out in that little church. And folks started getting saved. And the Lord was there. And he said, that's what we've lost in our churches, is people learning to be still and hear the voice of God. Oh, do you have that, dear friend? Secondly, I want you to notice this. In the presence of God, he works in our life, and we need to learn to praise him in the works that he does. I remember reading in my Bible in the book of Exodus where Israel is coming out of Egypt there. And they've come to the mountainsides. There's a mountain on the left, mountain to the right, and the Red Sea's before them. And they can't go to the left, can't go to the right, can't go forward. And they definitely can't come back, because here comes Pharaoh and his host of people. Moses is standing there, and there's the works of the Lord. And they're chiding with Moses and backbiting him. They must have been a bunch of Baptists. They're chiding on the man of God as he works the work of God. Moses takes his staff. He looks up to heaven in the stillness of the night. And remember, there's a cloud of fire by night and a cloud by day to protect them from the hot burning sun. And there, you can see the vision as you look at it with me. There's that cloud burning in the night. And Moses saying, God, we're in a mess. We're in a fix. God, if you don't deliver, surely we're all going to perish. And then he looks around and he looks at God and says, God, it's all on you now. I've gone as far as I can go. And God says, all right, you take your staff and you split that Red Sea, and I'm going to cause a strong east wind to move the waters back, and you're going to cross over on dry ground. And did you know this? When that Red Sea closed in on the Egyptian military and army, all the chariots that are down there are still down there today. Are you listening today? They're all down there. Did you know this? You go to the exact spot where the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea. Did you know? Look up your church. Did you know that the sand has been burned. You say, where'd the burning come from? From the pillar of fire by night. And it's an actual thing. I know that people don't talk about it, but archaeologically, they can tell you where they crossed the Red Sea. Down there in the depths of the sea, the works of God have been done and shown. And I tell you, we ought to start praising God for what He's done in our life. Has He saved you? Has He healed you? Has He blessed you? Has He blessed, paid your bills? Give you food to eat? Give you strength to walk to another day? And Brother Billy, I believe it's about time we as God's people start raising holy hands. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. I tell you, the quickest way to grow a church is when folks start praising God and the world starts watching and they say, I want that same God that they have. Start doing the work of God. He's with us. Be still and know He's with you today. I'm going to close right here. Thirdly, how we worship matters today. I tell you, I may get rocks thrown at me for what I'm about to say, but I believe in a church looking like a church, acting like a church, smelling like a church, and being the church. Can I get an amen? Fog machines and rock and roll music just does not cut it to me. Let me say that again. Fog machines and looking like rock and roll music does not cut it with me. God wants us to worship Him in humility and in grace. I've been watching some of those services on the internet trying to figure out what are they doing that we're not doing. It just seems like hundreds of people flock to it. But I still believe that we ought to act like a Christian and look like a Christian. Someone said, well, what is that? Well, it's to be modest and to be honorable. A life that honors the Lord every way possible. How we worship matters. Watch this in Psalms 95 verses 1 through 11. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but watch this. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. I don't care what song it is. I don't care what beat it is. I don't care what it is. But if it honors the Lord, sing it. Do you hear me today? If it honors the Lord, sing it. Watch this there. He says in verse number 2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with a psalm. So there's some adjectives there we sing. We come to Him with thanksgiving in verse number 2 and with joyfulness. Look down in verse number 6 there. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. We've got some adjectives that God gives us in Psalms 95 that we're to sing, we're to be thankful, we're to worship Him with bowed knees, we're to have Him before us day in and day out. And friend, let me ask you this. Do you have that in your life? Pleasant Union, I don't expect the church to grow unless you worship like you have been taught to worship. Now I'm gonna hit you right between the eyes with this. Worship God again. Tell God thank you for all He's done in your life. I'm not saying privately. It needs to be done publicly. When we are drawn by God and He simply gives us the desires of our heart, why is it we never say thank you for it? One day I was praying and I said, I've cooked supper around the house and I said, God, my kids are not thankful. I cook them the best meal and cook them whatever I want to. And I said, God, they're not thankful. They're just a bunch of heathens running around the Fuller House doing whatever they want, getting what they got, but they're forgetting Daddy's providing for them. So I went to God secretly, Brother Greg, and I said, God, I want you to help make my kids thankful. So one day we finished up, and little Sarah come up beside me, and she put her arm around me, and Tammy, she said, Daddy, thank you for supper. I never said a word to her. And she walked off, and tears come down my eyes while I was cleaning the dishes, you know. And well, a few weeks, rock on, and then here come Eli, you know. He's 6 foot 100, you know. And he come up beside me and put his little hand down. He said, Daddy, thank you for the food. It was good. And here come him, and he come by, and he swung his arm at him. He said, Daddy, thank you for the food. And then here comes Gretchen. She put her arm around me. Thank you for the food. Boy, it does a body good to have thank you attached to the conversation. Oh, dear Christian, when was the last time that God, you told Him thank you for what He's done in your life? Make it public. Don't do it privately. And I tell you, I've had it up to my eyes of Secret Service Christians that say thank you in private. And there's nothing wrong with that, but let's start making it public. Listen, God helped Nehemiah rebuild the wall. They'd left Babylon and they had a sword in one hand, a trowel in the other, and they worshiped God as they built the wall in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse number 9. And think about this, and as they built the temple in Solomon's day, there was neither a sound of a hammer or an axe as they built the temple of the Lord, but they strategically made every temple part of the structure out of part away from the city, and then they bring it in quietly before the Lord. And then they put this stone here and that stone there, and they build quietly everything in the back of worship of Israel pointed toward God. Let me ask you this, I'm closing. Is everything in your life? Everything in your life pointing to God and what He's done in your life? I have a job, and y'all know that I do architecture, and I have a farm, and do just a lot of things, and I enjoy it. But there's been times in my life doing architecture, and there's two or three different roof lines coming in together. And my daddy taught me this years ago. He said, son, when you get confused, just stop what you're doing and pray. And I say, in that middle of work, I'll be working along. I say, God, I don't know what to do. I can't understand it. Will you give me understanding? It might take a day, might take a few minutes, might take a few weeks even. And I'll get up from the work and God will visually show it in my mind what it is I'm supposed to be doing to make it work. And it's like lightning. It'll pop in my head and I'll run back to the desk. And then I'll fix it and do everything that needs to be done. And then I'll strategically hand it before my client. I'll say, here's your roof line. How did you figure that out? And I won't say anything. And they say, well, how did you know how that? Who taught you how to do that? And then before they get done, I'm pointing up and say, God showed me, give me the direction of how to design this. And listen, there's been days I've had devilish cows that I couldn't catch. You. And listen, you make fun of me all you want to. And I will go to the pastor saying, God, help me catch that cow. She's got the devil in her and she's ruining the herd. And Tammy, am I not telling it right? And I'll say, God, help me catch that cow. She's ruining the herd. And next thing you know, a few days go by, she'll be standing in the catch lot. And I'll walk in there just as pretty as can be. She's been wild as the devil. And I mean, most of the time, this will take her out and beef her out right there. But listen, I'll say, God, get her caught for me. And she'll be standing in the catch lot, Mr. Billy. I kid you not, God is my witness. Thank you, God, for catching them old wild things. And He'll put her in the catch lot, walk right onto the trailer like they've never nothing happened. That's my God. That's my God. And can I get a witness today? Has God done that in your life? Has He paid your bills, saved your kids, saved your grandkids? Have you publicly said, God, thank you, and worship Him like He ought to be worshipped? Are we worshiping Him the right way? If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And I tell you, are we helping in the cause of the ministry of drawing folk unto the Lord? You know how to grow a place at Union Baptist Church? Start worshiping Him like you know how. Don't leave it up to Greg and Lance and everybody else in between. What about you? Young and old alike, are you worshiping like you ought to? Are you giving Him everything that, every worship that you can to Him? In your job, in your career, mothers in your home? Look up here, I'm almost done. Are you worshiping the Lord with every breath, every thought, every word and deed? He's worthy. He is worthy of our worship. And I tell you, if you don't start thanking Him publicly for what He's done, I'm not saying you've got to do it here because the preacher said it. I'm saying doing it because you love Him and you're thankful. Would you be willing to do that, young and old alike? Just worship Him and thank Him here today. And I want Greg to come get a song ready. And Sarah, I want you to sing Blessed Assurance as you finish up singing. I want Greg to have a song ready and Tammy come sing. And we're going to do it a little bit different today. And I want us in invitation time. Look up here at me while they come. Come on, come the instrument, Tammy. Greg, come get the song. Is be ready. And Sarah, sing first, and then Greg, finish up. I want us to worship the Lord this morning. If the Lord is asking you to do something, will you be willing to do it? Isn't it amazing how God can line up the service? Don't tell me God's not here. He's been here when Greg was singing Father Along and said that he changed on the spur of the moment. And then he didn't know. I didn't know that it was your anniversary of your mother's homegoing. You know what that is? That's God. Thank you for showing up, God. I've been praying, God, would you send young families to the church? So here's Justin. There's little Miss Reagan coming up by the choir. The church grew by one today. Answered prayer. Thank you, God. Been praying for Miss Bobby Jean back there. God, be with her. God, help her. And she's walked in. Thank God. Listen, don't forget to praise God for what he's done. Come on, Sarah, and sing Blessed Assurance. I want you to stand all over the house, and when she finishes singing two verses of this, I'm not helping you on the chorus now. And I want to stand all over the house. Has God got something for you to do? She's going to do it a cappella, all right? Sing now. Sing and honor the Lord.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed.
Think about it.
Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior.